Well, let's kind of figure out a classic diet quota for you. And let me get a piece of paper so that we can write that down. The way we do this is, first of all, we make a guesstimate of how many calories typically that you would need. We didn't do this last time, did we?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think we were going to wait until we, because you were going to change some things maybe after you saw Lily. So first of all, we make a good guesstimate of how many calories you need, and that's always a tough one. Most women, unless you work out a lot, you probably aren't burning much more than like 1,800 to maybe 2,000 calories. So what we can do, I would say I'm going to go ahead and make it at about 1,800 just because you're at a good weight. You're about 5'5". I think that would be a prudent place to start out from. I know I won't cause you to gain weight, and you probably won't lose any either. But okay, so we're going to take 1,800 calories.
How many calories do you think I'm eating now, or can you even tell that from looking?
I could do a calorie count on that, but
although you wouldn't be able to tell because there's no, I don't write down like the fats and things like that.
Well, if you gave me real specific amounts, like I had, you know, 1/4 cup of soy milk, 1/2 cup of cereal, then I could count your calories and figure that out and run it through the computer and get a printout of your nutrient ratio and everything.
Wow.
For the day. In fact, if you want to do that, I'd be glad to run it for you, but you'd have to take one day
and write
really
down.
Like precise.
Okay.
Okay, so 1,800 calories times 0.4, that's going to be 40% of your calories coming from carbohydrate. And that's the standard protocol, really. Okay, times 0.4 gives us 720 carbohydrate calories.
Yeah.
Then we divide that by 4 calories per gram. I know you've seen this before, which gives us a quota of 180 grams of carbohydrate per day. Actually, I should have done that. Okay, then we have to distribute it.
That's low. not that much.
It is. Then we have to distribute that into an ideal ratio. Now, you always do have breakfast, really, unless you're running a bit on the higher side.
Yeah.
And you always have some kind of lunch, pretty much. And you always have some kind of dinner, basically. Now, the mid-morning snack, the snacks are hit and miss. That's where we maybe would have to look at things a little bit more closely. But usually, lunch and dinner are your main meals. And we would give you about a 30% quota at both lunch and dinner, which is about 54 grams at each of those places would be sort of your ballpark quota. And it's not outlandish. Like here you were 64. Well, a little bit higher. Here, well, you were about 64. So 64, 50, that was 74. So it's a little bit higher is what you're used to doing. And,
Yeah, I remember, like, a long, long time ago, let's see, it was, I guess, 40, maybe 40, 45, 70 or something. That's how they had it divided up,
okay.
I think. Although, that's more, right? Let's see.
Sounds pretty high.
Yeah. That's what, a total of 100.
It might have been based either on a higher calorie level or a higher percent of your calories coming from carbos. Like if this were 50%, which is probably more realistic for how you eat, being a vegetarian, you eat more, and we can change it up. But we'll use this as a base, and then we want to compare it to what you typically do And the thing is, if you started doing this right now, you'd have low blood sugars.
Right.
Because you've already adjusted your insulin to another level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you could learn from this is that at least if you sort of chose a standard
mm-hmm.
place for a while until you got things a little more stabilized, it might be easier to mm-hmm. do your insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you are a little more comfortable with that, then you can start doing this flex with
right.
adding the unit for another 10 grams. Say if you usually have 64 and you find, you know, X units of insulin works mm-hmm. for that, well, then you can jockey it from there. Now, at breakfast, we often keep that down around 12 because...
12?
Wow. Percent.
I thought you meant grams. I was going to say, where do you find food that's that low?
Well, some people actually end up having to do that. That's zero only about 22 grams because of that dawn phenomenon. Mm. So that's not much at all. Then,
like even an English muffin is too much.
Uh-huh.
Even
uh-huh.
oatmeal.
It's really difficult. You can either have either or sort of a thing. Let's see, 60, 72. Okay, so that gives us a 28 to distribute throughout the rest of the day. And making a decision of how to do that really involves your insulins. Now, in the morning, you've got a good amount of regular insulin that you take, so mm-hmm. I would want to put a little bit higher percentage for your snack there. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say maybe even 10% here.
See, I hate that snack, having to eat snacks. I just don't have time, you know?
The only trouble with that is, at breakfast, you just won't have your insulin's there for you to eat the big carbo breakfast, typically, mm-hmm. unless you run high after breakfast, and then it comes down when the insulins finally do get working. Mm-hmm. But then you're running high. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's the right. only way to protect yourself is, yeah, you eat a bunch of carbo, you take a bunch of insulin,
right.
you run high for an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden it comes skyrocketing down mm-hmm. when all the insulins get on board. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
anyway, 0.1, okay, that's just going to be 18, roughly.
How does Lula do that, though? Because she, like, I don't think she eats lunch or anything. I mean, she just, like, has this really minimal dose of NPH, I think.
Have to ask her.
That's what I suspect. Know.
I don't know the trade secrets there. But, you know, I think probably... keeping the carbos a little on the lower side enable, of course, then you need less insulin, which makes life mm-hmm. easier. Mm-hmm. It does make it easier if you do eat less carbo because you don't have to take these big amounts and then wonder what they're going to do and when.
Mm-hmm.
This actually sometimes makes it more complicated. Now, mid-afternoon, you are taking a touch of regular at lunch, but you don't really eat much of a snack. Usually, after lunch, because you have a late lunch. Mm-hmm. You might have some Cheetos there, I see.
Oh, that was just because I was like, couldn't eat dinner.
Cashews.
I had to go to something like right at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or something.
So that really may be one where it's sort of debatable. You know, maybe at the most you'd have 5% there. And I'm just sort of guessing as a place to start. Why did I do that? I knew what it was. And that's just hardly anything. That's a few nuts, really, and that's about it. Or then later on, you do sometimes eat after dinner because you're kind of a night owl. And let's see, this will go 22 plus. So we're looking at about roughly 13, 15% there. So... Okay, so approximately, well, it's essentially like breakfast. So those would just be places to start from. But I think what's even more important is you've got to tailor it to what your insulin is and use these as a jumping off place. You know, if you say, well, this is ridiculous, I always have a 70 carbo dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It just means you slightly adjust that insulin. Same thing if you don't like snacks. What are you going to do to compensate mm-hmm. for the fact that there's a lot of insulin there maybe? And how are you going to get around that? But that's the sole purpose of snacks, is to really prevent lows from happening and to counteract the insulin time actions. So maybe we should compare. Go ahead.
Oh, I just had one question. Uh-huh. So, for example, say I didn't eat lunch, then what would happen? Like, then I could not take the insulin there. And then...
Well,
but then, I don't
you
know.
Probably would need to eat
then, maybe,
a little something because of your NPH mm-hmm. peaking, although you don't take a lot of NPH, so
in the morning,
it may be debatable if you really need to have something later in the or to get you into dinner. Okay, you know, you might have to eat sort of an afternoon snack if you don't, look at the NPH that you're taking, and low could help you with that. Did she give you a scale for a no lunch? Lunch scale
a while ago, but it changed after that. See, this was the original thing that I had. She said, but okay, this was a while ago. See, 3/24/94. So, like for example, she had these two things. So if I was gonna eat, like say I decided okay, in the morning I was going to eat lunch, then I would take 4 units of NPH and then supplement it with the regular. But if I knew, like say in the morning, that I wasn't going to eat lunch, then she said take it. But this doesn't make any sense to me. Take 6 NPH, because I would be low with this then, definitely, you know, in the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think this was kind of guessing, too, because it was before I had really...
Yeah. Definitely, you know, check with her on your insulins, because, you know, she is the only one that can really clarify them. You know, it's tough to to do the jockeying of the food and the insulin. It really... It makes it really a challenge there to...
Well, this is where I got the idea that she probably doesn't eat lunch. Well, I don't know how she would have time anyway. Every time you see her, it's like, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. But then also just like, I don't know, she sort of like knew what I meant when I was saying, uh-huh, oh, it's such a pain to have to stop and eat lunch, you know. And so... that's where I got that idea. But
okay. Well, it's, yeah, let's see. So 4 of N, 6 of N, and then 0 regular there.
Yeah.
That's where just monitoring lets you know if it's going to work for you or not, if it's too strong or not strong enough. Yeah.
Right.
So it's, well, anyway, how can I help you with all this? I feel like we're still in a pickle in that it's just every day is so different. And, you know, you're adjusting your insulins per your protocols that you have there. and the carbos are varying around that. But, you know, I think it's important we make some kind of a goal to prevent these lows from happening,
mm-hmm.
and try and prevent the ones that are creeping up a little bit too high. And, you know, what do you think that you could do to clarify this a little bit more and make it a little easier?
Well, I guess maybe if I try this, maybe that's the only way. Because it seems like to me that, I don't know, it's maybe it's easier if I have like some kind of set thing, because then...
Yeah, something to shoot for.
Yeah, because otherwise I'll just do whatever I feel like doing, right. You know?
Right.
Obviously.
Well, you could give this a try as far as the levels, but what I would do is use what you're currently doing as sort of a backup guide, because obviously if you're having, and this has changed a lot over the past few days, but well, one day you have 38 at breakfast, the next day you have none.
Yeah, but that's like if a high
40,
and it also, like, sometimes I just write them in different columns because depending on what time it was.
But if you're having only, you know, around, and what you could do is sort of round these a little bit, like shoot for say 25, or mm-hmm. just say every morning you're going to have a 30 gram carbohydrate breakfast, period.
Mm-hmm.
That's it would work. And then you just start learning from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that a 30 gram carbohydrate breakfast would be an improvement on what you were doing as far as dropping it down mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. And yet it would also be something kind of easy to do with toast or bread,
right,
or English muffins. So you could just lock into that and see how that goes. Mid-morning, well, that's kind of a debatable one because you don't really like to have the snack.
Mm-hmm.
But try it and see. Maybe carry something with you. And it could be something simple. You might make this just sort of a plastic baggie full of crackers that mm-hmm. you take with you,
right,
wherever you go, and just make it a standard habit.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a piece of fruit that is going to be approximately in that ballpark. And lunchtime, I would say maybe rounding it, I might round it to 60. So what if we increase your quota up to about 45%?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. That's not the most important thing. The main thing is that you're trying to hit those quotas consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I don't think you'll have any problem eating something later on after dinner. If anything, it's going to be trying to maybe keep this down mm-hmm. around 15 to 30 or something mm-hmm. in that ballpark. But I agree that if you can make it a little more rock steady, you should be able to smooth some of these things out a bit more if you have a mm-hmm. schedule that you're trying to go for. But
yeah,
these are a little bit more scientifically mm-hmm. derived mm-hmm. based on what insulins are doing and,
right,
and when. So,
yeah.
Questions.
No, I was just looking at this number and thinking, oh, if I only eat that amount of carbohydrate at dinner, I'll be just like dropping, you know, all night long. And that is so annoying. It's like you have to keep eating and keep eating, because I've had that happen.
Well, maybe realistically what you want to do is keep this one, because lunch, well, what are you going to have, really? You're going to have, yeah, a couple tortillas or maybe a sandwich or something
yeah.
along that line. Maybe realistically, this is only about 40 or 50-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. I would just adjust this to 50 or 45 or whatever you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
But dinner, you're right. You have control in that you have a regular sliding scale that you can use. And maybe realistically you should make this 70
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
just, but call it 70 and then really try to to stand by that and look at the insulin, look at your numbers before and after, and what does happen over the course of the evening. Do you have to go ahead and have this within 2 hours, or or what?
Mm-hmm.
But look at it and see, but stand by it, make it like 70, and then just stick to it.
Okay.
So anyway, that's something you could play with for a little while and see if it helps in getting rid of some of the outliers that we're trying to fix up. So, other questions?